This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
What's up, guys? Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. How y'all doing?
We're doing good, boy.
Good to have you. Hey, good to see you, Eric.
Good to have me here?
Good to have you here.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
That's 100% correct. Doug?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's all right to have you here, too.
Not bad, right?
I mean, we'll put up with you.
We're in the studio. Your mustache is looking primed up and proper there, Doug.
Thank you, man.
Welcome to the podcast. Thank you guys for being here. Thanks for the support. We appreciate everybody. We don't plug this enough, but if you would, wherever you're listening, will you just like subscribe, give us a like, share it up, leave a review, leave a comment. Anything helps on all social platforms, whatever. We're banned on the TikTok for a month. Shout out to Posting Deer on TikTok.
Go to iTunes and tell us your favorite. I always like say like, hey, tell us your favorite sandwich, and then people like just comment their favorite sandwich on there. It's funny.
We are we're still doing the YouTube comment giveaway. So on our new YouTube videos, if you comment, we already selected a March winner, and we do them a little delayed, so you got some time to get your comments on there. Another announcement: we're drawing tonight. We're going to draw the winners of the trade show giveaway prizes, and the. You can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks. If it's not already out by the time this launches, that bumper sticker, we ordered them. There's limited quantities right now.
I just said, is that going to be a limited quantity thing, or are we going to have a bunch of them?
Uh-oh.
What are we doing, Kurt?
You want to know the truth?
Yep.
Right now, I'm seeing a limited quantity, but I'm expecting to make a reorder because I love the saying so much.
Yep.
Because like I can think of, I want to stick them on everything already, like as a selfish thing.
So what you're saying is when we get them in, we're going to steal them all to put them on toolboxes and refrigerators of our personal stuff that we're going to have to order more. Is that what you're saying?
I didn't account that in when I made the order. So we're going to be ordering
so that's
more.
What you're saying.
Yeah. I didn't want to make myself seem
I mean, right
dumb.
Here is about perfect.
Hey, see? You see?
Just saying.
Hey, rednecks love stickers, and I'm a redneck. The podcast is presented by Elite Excuse Archery. Me? Shout out to Elite, the Envision. You mailed yours out to Shooters Archery to get set up.
I did. I contacted Josh. I'm like, hey, is there any way you could set this up without me being there? He's like, ship it to me. I got you.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a new bow, if you haven't got one and it's on, if you're in the market for it, probably order it now. You can order it on Elite Archery. Use code WCB. Have it shipped to a local dealer and set up at a local dealer. Everybody wins. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a win-win, brother.
Check out Elite Archery.
Brother.
Big time, man. You guys are using your supplemental feed. Iowa boys, one and two.
Got it out already, man. Got to get them nutrients in them while they're growing the mantlers.
Gotta get them big racks. Yeah.
I'm not, I'm just going to do fall plots, I think, but I do want to get some borderline in.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to start thinking about
this
that.
This is the time to do that.
It's getting there, yeah. So I got my little working class tractor is going to be chug-a-lug and all 17 horses. Just saying.
God dang.
We might have to give her a little tune job, get her up to 18, you
dude,
know what I'm saying?
Any ideas you got for that thing, I need it. Whether what kind of exhaust I got at Motion Raceworks?
Oh, we can hook you up.
Yeah.
Custom stainless.
Get a tuner on that thing, huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's pretty barbaric, but get it that big time in the ground. Borderline's going to be my flagship for the spring. I got some things in the works, too. I got some ideas. Scent Crusher. Scent Crusher, the Halo series, killing it. They got some new ozone units out there designed to be basically on the go. Mm-hmm. So whatever you want to do with them. But the roller bag's going to be put to use here. We got Bear Camp the end of this month. Going to be rolling on out to Bear Camp and using the Halo series because you don't need an outlet if you have your unit charged. So check out Scent Crusher. It is all in one bag. Not only is it scent eliminating, it's great.
Be the best for storage. Be the best smelling guys in Bear Camp.
You ain't kidding.
That's right.
You ain't kidding.
Or will we? You don't even smell us.
You hit Dave.
You don't know what we smell like because we ain't gonna smell us.
Hey, you're just not on the radar, and that's, like, and that's the goal. Old Barn Taxidermy. I forgot this week. I didn't go. I have my doe and my whitetail is done.
You dingus!
Man, I don't even have my rack there.
You don't? Get it in there. They're probably waiting.
Sam's supposed to let me know.
Mine's there. I'm just waiting for the phone call.
Not far behind.
You shot something.
So I get it in
for
there.
Once.
Old Barn Taxidermy, they're doing their turkey giveaway. We, I think when I go there, we're going to do the working class bow hunter shoulder mount giveaway from last season. If you went in and said you were a listener, they got put into an entry. So that drawing is still to come. It's just a lot of the stuff's delayed because of trade shows.
Hey,
so.
I put my name in for that too.
I don't think you'd count.
Oh, okay.
We just want to see if he'd win.
Did he draw my
just
name?
To see. He put one in out of all those.
Yep.
I'm in. Loophole to Optics, man. We're rocking 10x42s, RX right. Full draw, performance eyewear. Confirmed, Loophole is an official sponsor of the 2022 Working Class Bowhunter shoot, June 11th.
So that saying, you don't want to miss this one, boys.
So there's some performance eyewear is going to be there, maybe some binos, maybe some rangefinders. I mean, you want to know my opinion, who's doing it in the optics game? Loophole's doing it.
That's right.
They don't do anything half-ass. And that goes from shirts to hats to what they're known for, rifle scopes, binos, spotting scopes, rangefinders, performance eyewear.
Their merchandise? Top-notch.
Loophole.
They mess around.
I'm not going to kind of contact them. Like, who do you guys use? Because it's all.
Hey, yo.
You know what they say?
Bitch. Bitch, please.
They don't say that. They're great people. But that's what I would say if I was them.
Right.
Now, Loophole is, they don't do anything half-assed. It's a beautiful thing. Trophy Line. Trophy Line probably is a partnership that shocks some people for us because it is primarily a saddle hunting company. They focused on American-made saddle coming down the line, some badass pack setups, the EDP platforms, mini sticks. I mean, they got it all. If that's your forte in mobile hunting, they got it for you, and they're great people. And I don't know what our launch schedule is. They're coming to the studio.
That's right.
So we're going to do a full depth on there. Oh, and there's a code. Hold on. Stand by. We have a code for Trophy Line.
You might see us. On video.
Not you.
Maybe.
Ever use a saddle before, Eric?
Nope.
Me neither.
Well, damn it.
It's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
It is going to be a little interesting.
I don't want to be wrong on the code.
I don't know what nervous. To do.
I wrote it down.
I don't have the code on there?
Yeah, obviously I didn't write it down.
Oh, yeah, you did. I just want to say the wrong code. I always say the wrong codes.
That's why we get so many emails. Hey, that's the wrong code.
Oh, it's just WCB.
Oh, perfect. That's easy to remember.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So check out Trophy Line. Great people. Great products if you're trying to be El Mobile. And then, Doug, you got that was Spanish for mobile. Do you have a... What's up? You got a veteran shout-out now, or you want to wait for the mid-roll?
I'll do it now.
Cool.
This one's submitted by Nick Hermes, and the veteran is Tony Van...
The veteran shout-out is brought to you by HHA USA and HHA Sports. Doug, you failed.
Well, I was just skipping around. I say it all the time. So,
comfortable.
You got caught.
You're 30.
He's a scout sniper.
Damn, okay.
Oh, dang.
I'm listening.
Okay. So, Tony served in Afghanistan out of high school in the late 2000s and early 2010s. After his first deployment, he enrolled in successfully completed scout sniper training after serving time in the Corps. Sorry, goddammit. Tony turned his attention to becoming one of the best whitetail hunters I've come to know. He followed in the footsteps of the beast tactics like Dan Infault, killing several mature bucks over the last three seasons, including a 178-inch public land giant in central Wisconsin woods in early November.
Very cool.
I had the pleasure of helping track and drag this beast and experienced I'll never forget. Thanks, Tony, for all you've done for our country, and it's been a pleasure watching you drop Wisconsin and Minnesota Giants year after year. It's an honor to call you one of my best hunting buddies. He's an avid bow hunter for whitetails and trapper for coyotes and fox. So thank you for your service, Tony, and thanks for submitting that, Nick.
Thanks, Nick, for the submission. Tony, shout out to you, brother. You sound like a stone-cold killer right there.
Oh, yeah.
A sniper, yeah, to being a ninja in the deer woods.
Yeah. Right.
Can I just give a shout-out to Travis Kissel quick? Because the other day I posted a thing on my Snapchat of Joe Dirt.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, every time Doug reads a vet shout-out, it's like Robbie on Joe Dirt when he's like, you know, when he's reading the note?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember what he says, but he's like, do not tell Joe that I met his parents.
That's pretty funny, but eat shit, Travis, you nerd.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you kind of are the M in there. We, right here.
I don't read sometimes good.
You don't do a good time at good reading. Tony sounds like a badass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to you, man.
Cheers. Oh,
here. Here.
Dear Robbie, if Joe calls, don't tell him I found his parents.
That is you, Doug.
Dude, that's not when me. When he, I had to screenshot it and send it to Doug because I'm like, it's so perfect.
You're an engineer, bro.
Yeah, we don't read.
Do not tell Joe I shit. Found his parents. XOXO.
I love that. That's pretty good. I'm sorry, Doug.
That's not funny.
It's so funny.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, good for you, Doug. Thanks for being here. Thanks for reading the veteran shout. It's a great service you provide to our show, but doesn't mean we can't give you shit about it.
I'm glad I could be here.
This podcast, I had a lot of fun on this one. We think you guys will enjoy listening to it. Kendall is the man. Talk about a successful businessman, a smart guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, building companies left and right and buying new warehouses because the companies have been taken off.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of future podcasts with Kendall.
Yeah, absolutely.
So hope you guys enjoy this one. Let us know what you think. Comment, share it up, and give us some reviews. We appreciate
just comment that
here.
We need him in studio. Tag him. Do all that kind of stuff.
Well, that's a good idea.
You know what I'm saying?
Like that.
Hey, tag him in it. Be like, hey, we need you in studio because it'd be a lot better podcast.
This is a good one, but I agree.
Just do it.
Yeah. Cool. Enjoy it.
I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working class. All right, Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. We're here in the studio and via Zoom, or if you're listening on audio podcast, phone call for you. Kendall Card is joining us on the show this week, man. Thanks for coming.
Fellas, I'm super psyched to be on board. Thank you.
Yeah, well, first of all, we appreciate the partnership, Black Ovis on the CC Hunt Files, us with Camo Fire, a lot to talk about, a lot of different angles we could attack this podcast, I think, but I think we should start with you introducing yourself, because if anybody lives on YouTube and looks up products, they've seen you talk on a video on YouTube. That's where I know you from.
Yep.
Dude, it's funny you say that, because I was, and I don't, I mean... I'll have kids. I've got some kids in the neighborhood like, dude, I saw you on YouTube. And I'm like, listen, it's not that hard to get on YouTube.
It's free. Anybody can be there.
Just got to have a camera. But I was at the Total Archer Challenge in Michigan last year. And I was I was just in my own zone. I'm by myself. I'm eating breakfast. And I happened to be where all the people were coming in and out of the restaurant there at the lodge. And some guy walks by and he kind of looks at me and he keeps walking and he double takes and looks back at me. And I kind of just gave him that, hey, dude,
yeah,
just enjoying my breakfast. And he goes, and he comes back, he goes, I just got to say hi. You're the guy on YouTube that talks about all that hunting gear. And I was like, bro, like it's nothing really. Seriously.
Did he ask for your autograph?
Oh, thankfully, no. But,
put you in an awkward spot. That's cool, though, man. It shows that.
I love talking gear, though. I mean, I've always, kid with the most gear and toys in the garage wins, right?
Yeah, that's right. But I mean, all the videos are informative, you know. It's like if you look up anything about crispy boots, I mean, that's where people are going to see it probably first, you know. But, and we'll get into that. But can you break down that? Can we talk about the relationship between the brands? Like, how's that all work out? Or do we just want to dive into each one individually?
No, that's wide open. Let me just lay out the landscape. So Mark and I started Camelfire. Sorry, I'm getting confused myself. We started Camelfire in 2008. We were trying to launch in 2007. We launched October of 2008. After a couple of years, we had a clothing company called Core 4 Element that we started. And then Easton came to us a couple of years later and said, we want this. And we said, it's not for sale. And they said, we really want it. And we said, it's still not for sale. And they really wanted it, so we sold it.
it's funny how that works.
Right.
I suppose the adage of everything has its price is indeed true.
Right.
But we, right at that moment, we knew we were going to launch Black Ovis. So it was actually a good thing because we would have been too divided to be able to actually pull that off. And we had two really good employees that are still employed with Camelfire Black Ovis that helped us launch that. And thank goodness that they were there. But so we launched Black Ovis, 4 years later. And then about 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago, we had an opportunity through a series of events to become the North American distributor for Crispy. So Mark and I set that up as a separate company, Crispy US. And then we ran both of them under the same roof until literally about 4 months ago.
Oh, really?
And then moved Crispy. We outgrew. So we were in a previous warehouse, came to this building. Outgrew this building. Camelfire needed more space and Crispy needed more space. And so we gave Crispy the boot. And now Mark, and that's about a 30-minute drive from here. So Mark spends the bulk of his time at Crispy and I still collaborate with him on that. And then I spend the bulk of my time here at Camelfire Black Ovis and he kind of collaborates a little bit with me on that. So it's been an interesting last few months as we've divided and conquered.
Yeah.
Literally in different spaces, but that's kind of the background of the two different companies and how we've been involved for about 13, 14 years now.
Man, that's awesome. Kick ass. That's some successful businesses there. If you're, everybody needs more room and things are just,
it's probably kind of hectic, but if you need more warehouses, that's always a good thing.
Right.
Dude, we've had some crazy things over the years of outgrowing spaces. We had our third warehouse. There was a time where we would pull pallets in. Thank goodness Utah has good weather because we'd roll pallets into the warehouse end of the day. At the beginning of the day, we'd have to roll them out into the parking lot to actually conduct business. And then we would roll them back in at the end of the next day.
Just to have room.
A few times it rained, there was actually a semi truck in that back trailer in that back little parking lot. And we would roll the pallets under the semi and then take cardboard and put it on top of the rest of the pallets so they wouldn't get wet. It was nuts, man. So we've literally gone to the brink with warehousing space, multiple times. Every time we move, it basically the last 6 months are just, you want to just punch yourself through the wall.
Yeah. And that's the thing, moving to a new warehouse. Like you look at it totally empty before you rent it and then you put everything in there and you're like, I don't know if this is big enough.
Yeah. No, we 3 years ago, we moved in this building. It's 50,000 square feet. And we thought there's no way we'll ever fill this thing up. And 3 years later, it's to the brim.
Good problem.
Yeah. Well, that's but it's been a fun ride so far. Started in a basement and here we are today.
Keeps you busy for sure.
That's kick ass, man. And so let's start with Camo Fire, because Camo Fire got popular with our friends group years ago.
Yeah.
And it ended up being, we would all send each other the links on the deals that day. Nice. And then I think more and more people learned about it in the Midwest, but there's still a fair amount of people who are still learning about it in the Midwest. But the way we promote it, I love the way Doug promotes Camo Fire, because you know, like when your wife goes to Target, Doug doesn't have this problem. Your wife goes to Target and spends money, and then you just find out about it when you see the Target bag. Doug always says you delete your browser history when you've been shopping on Camo Fire so your wife doesn't know where you're shopping for deals.
Dude, I've heard so many stories. I remember when we first implemented PayPal on the website years ago. And man, dudes would come out. They were like, thank you so much. I've got this fund over here. I've been hiding it from my wife.
In the PayPal account?
Yeah, I got guys that'll ship, ship to like a buddy's house or to their dad's house or to their work. My funny story, early on when we were probably in our third warehouse, there was this guy that his name was Brad, and he used to come by our warehouse. It was funny. Our first and second warehouse, we locked the front door because we didn't want people coming by.
Mm-hmm.
And so the locals would recognize, like, oh, the back door's open. So they would just come. We had to just walk in the back of the warehouse and like, hey, guys, what's up? And they just wanted to hang out.
Like at the garage sale.
We're trying to connect some business here. Yeah. So, but this one guy, Brad, he was that way. But he was a super nice guy. Come by all the time. Bought a ton of stuff. My business partner's at the grocery store, and he bumps into Brad, and it's like, you know, he said it was late one afternoon, you know, he was shopping after work, and Brad, they're just chumming it up, and the wife is standing there, and then Brad turns to his wife, and he said she was super pleasant. Oh, nice to meet you, this and that. And then Brad goes, this is the guy that owns Camo Fire. And he said that her expression just went stone cold, and she's like, I freaking hate your website. We get boxes every week. I'm so tired. I mean, she just started like tearing into me. And he's like, okay, Brad, I'm out. Like,
I'm good out. To see you.
Look at the time, Brad. I'm out of here.
She just got aggro. But it's funny. I've had spouses that are just like, oh, man, I hate your website. I mean, they're nice about it, but they're like, I hate your website.
Yeah. I mean, it's a cool concept. And how did you guys think of that?
So it was, I mean, we didn't create the wheels. There was a website called Woot, that Amazon ended up buying, and it was one deal per day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a flash, you know, some sort of cheap, super crazy rad deal. They mostly did electronics. I used to work for a company that did something similar in the outdoor industry, like backpacking, you know, hiking, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, when I left there, I called Mark up and said, hey, what, I said, man, I'm just kind of out on my own. I'm doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I said, what are you up to? Let's start a business. Cause we'd always talked about starting a business together.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, sweet. What sort of ideas you got? And then he told me a couple ideas. I told him a couple ideas. And then he said, you know what I really want to do? He said, I want to start a site like Woot, but for hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, dude, that'll never work. That's like a dumb idea.
Yeah.
I said, well, let's do this other thing and you can go do that thing. And it kind of percolated. It kind of like, after a couple of days, I thought, man, I'm an idiot if I don't do that with him.
Yeah.
And I called him up again and said, hey, are you still going to do that hunting thing? And he goes, oh yeah, I've got three or four other guys that want to go in with me on this. And I'm like, dude, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm kind of that FOMO. And then
through
a course of a while, a few handful of months and some random things that happened in the lives of the other guys that were going to start with us, it ended up being just Mark and I, and when the dust settled. So
very cool.
We pieced together, but it wasn't like that we came up with the idea of the concept. But what guys see today is, you know, we offer 80 deals per day right now.
Mm-hmm.
We started and it's back to back. So if something sells out, it just fills in with something else. Sometimes other times we allow it to just show sold out and that's gone. But when we first started, it was one item per day. It would go up at 11 p.m. Mountain time. And then once it sold out, it was done. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't sell another thing. Then we started having guys like, come on, like you got to tell me that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need something else. So we started doing back to back one item, and it was like, so it'd sell out at 11 a.m. and then maybe like maybe at like 2:30 it sold out, and the next item sold out. Then we expanded it, and guys were just like, we got to see more deals.
Yeah.
So we expanded to six different items, and then I mean it just went crazy from there.
It
started out as one item per day, and our first item we sold out was a Gerber knife that my dad had picked up at the Gerber factory, which I grew up in Portland, Oregon. And so, and they're right there in Portland. He had picked it up and he had sent it down to me just as like, hey, got a cool knife for you. And I remember Mark and I, we just had clothing and a couple others. We had some Primo stuff and our specialty had some Mossy Oak camo. Mm-hmm. And he said, dude, we got to get some more variety. And I said, well, I got this knife my dad sent me. I'm like, it's brand new. We could sell it. So took a picture of it, wrote a little description, threw it up on the site, and it sold out. We had one quantity of one.
Yeah.
And our friends, I mean, I remember it was probably the second week or third week. I remember our friend, we had just a handful of friends like, dude, you guys sold out. You're killing it. You must be so
you sold one.
Oh, yeah, we sold one. And it was, but the
Mr. Moneybags.
The perception was that there's scarcity there's urgency. And so it's funny to think about. I mean, that was we made, I don't know, $10 or $12 or whatever we put it for.
Yeah.
Hey, but just that one little detail, though, of like you selling all that one item makes people think like, oh, there's not that many. So we got to buy them up right away.
Hey,
absolutely.
Whatever works.
It's been like that since, you know, we've had items that we've got hundreds of, and we've got items we have 12 of.
Or yeah, right.
Six of, or and no one ever, you know, no one ever knows. So it's been pretty dang fun watching it go from, you know, that one item to now we offer 80, you know, per day. And
it's changing every day, right? Like
every single day. Yeah.
That's so
it's
awesome.
Never, and you might see something that you're like, oh, I saw that, you know, last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring stuff back until basically it's gone. And it's not like a regular website where we can just get stuff, like over and over and over again. A lot of times it's just stuff that we have X amount, and once it's gone, it literally we cannot get it again.
Yeah, right.
But some items we can. But it's it's funny to us too, because we internally I remember early on we worked with Badlands a ton, and they were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And we had bought a pack from them, the 2200, in a color that, you know, I think it was a Max One that they were changing, and we had, I mean, no joke, I think we probably had 600 of those things.
Yeah.
Pallets and pallets and pallets of packs. And we would list it and list it and list it. And invariably, the moment it sells out, like literally the last one's gone, we would get phone calls that next day. Hey, man, I've been looking for that Badlands pack. When are you going to list that again? Like, are you kidding me?
It was on there forever.
I saw it a few times. I just didn't pull the trigger. It's like,
bro. It's how it works.
It's out. Sorry.
So it's funny. It's been super funny on stuff like that.
It's cool, man. Like, I like getting on there when we do our reads for Camo Fire, and like, we'll just go through the deals that day while we're doing them to show that it is different. And it's a fun deal. Like, if you're looking for, I mean, just example, bow hooks for your tree stand.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good website to check, because you're going to get a deal on it. Or like blind chair. I mean, everything, but. You know, for, I think, Midwestern tree stand hunting, I'm always looking for bow hooks. I always keep one on me, and then I'll set a stand and I'll leave it there for the next time I climb that tree.
And I'm not going to lie. Back in the day, I had to delete the app because I thought I was going to take out a second mortgage on my house. You know, I was ordering shit left and right.
Dude, you're one of many. I've had a lot of guys like, dude, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but I deleted your app. It's cool. I get it, bro. Don't want to ruin your marriage or your bank account.
Good problems.
The problem was I was single at the time.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's there to tell you no.
Yeah.
Right.
You had a realization with yourself.
With myself, yeah. Right. You had a problem.
Yeah. Sounds bad, but.
You did an intervention with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Sat yourself down after work. With a beer.
Yeah.
Listen, Eric.
Right before you close, you're like, oh, there's one more thing.
Well, oh, shit. The deal came up before I delete it.
40% off.
Just this last one.
Yeah.
Just
one more item.
I love it. So that's I love that website. Gino, our buddy, shout out to Gino. He's in our group. We call the WCB OGs, and he's always sending deals. Like, That's nice. I think I learned about Camo Fire from him.
Yep.
I think so, yeah.
But going in, like going to Black Ovis, I don't think I knew about it until I went to go on my first Western hunt. My buddy Jeremy from Buckstorm, he lives in the Dakotas and he buys like everything through Black Ovis. And he goes, I just needed some gear that, you know, I had whitetail stuff. So I was going with him on an over-the-counter elk hunt for the first time. I'm like, hey, man, I need boots. I need some other gear. So he's like, just go here. So he sent me the link. And I remember what stood out to me to Black Ovis. Like, I ordered Crispies through there and some, like, base Merino Black Ovis branded ones. Hell, I don't remember what else we ordered. Basically, everything you need. I think we ordered a tent. But you guys have everything for everything, really, any type of hunting you want to do. But I remember calling and asking about some boots before I ordered them. And, like, everyone that I've called there a couple times, everyone I talked to, like, knew about it. It wasn't, like, I didn't get the vibe that they just guessed and told me, like, they, you know what I mean, acted like they knew. Yeah. I actually got, like, advice from whoever I talked to back then when I called. So that always stood out to me, and that's always kind of my reference when I like send Black Ovis to other people, like, hey, buy your gear here type of thing. So doing that, is that a challenge to hire people that are knowledgeable in the products, or is it just kind of just come with the industry and being inside it?
Yes and no. We really, anyone that's answering the phones outside of, I mean, literally Jenny, she's our longest employee. She doesn't hunt but she sat in the same office with me for a couple years. And I mean, she could talk probably gear better than most people I know in the hunting industry, just cause she's just been a student of it. But outside of her, just everyone that answers the phone is a hunter or has hunting experience. And I still pick up the phone. I actually really enjoy it, quite frankly. It might sound weird to a lot of people. And I've had guys, I'll answer the phone, like, you're like the guy, and I'm
you're the guy on YouTube.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Or I'll get people like, man, tell your manager that you did a great job on the phone today. I appreciate the info. I'm like, I'll let him know.
hey, take the survey at the end of this call.
Totally. But we want to make sure Black Ovis is purpose. We've always knew we would start something like Black Ovis because it we're better partners with the brands we work with by having, their latest and greatest, as well as the discounted stuff on Camo Fire. And we can serve our customers better by having both outlets. But our goal for Black Ovis was always to be the best resource for the top, the best gear that you could want to use outside of the gun, the weapon and the ammo. Everything else that you would need for a hunt, you can find on Black Ovis.
Yeah.
And so, finding people, I mean, we put guys through some pretty good training. If they're like, we have a guy that came in and he's straight up like a gun guy. Like he's doesn't know a ton about archery, and it took a while for him. But he's also real honest. I've heard him say many times where he'll say, hey, listen, I'm not an expert in archery. I'm just kind of getting my feet wet. Can I pass you to someone that knows a little bit more about that? And I think, rather than, hey, let me BS you through like what rest you might need or what arrow configuration you might want. We try and tell our guys just, hey, don't be shy about telling a customer like, hey, let me get you to someone that knows more about this product than I do.
Which is awesome.
Even though
says a lot.
Yeah, we try to be experts in everything. The reality is we may not be, each guy may not be an expert in everything, right? So
yeah, well, I think that shows a lot of respect to your paying customer. You know, like if I was in that situation, like, hey, let me pass you to the next guy, I'd be like, oh, cool. You know, I think that's, I mean, honestly, man, that's the best way to be about everything. People believe in you more a little when you're like that. That makes sense.
So it's been awesome. We to have launched and run Black Ovis, but there's plenty of places guys can buy gear, some of it the same gear. And so things like that, like you just mentioned, we hope to differentiate ourselves and be a real resource for people, not just a place to, cause if you want a place to just buy stuff, go to Amazon, right? But if you want a place to get good insight, comprehensive info, like honest feedback on the phone or via the web, that's where we can differentiate ourselves from, just some random place to pick up, a piece of gear.
Yeah, right. I kind of have fun going through Black Ovis because you can filter by brand. You guys carry so many different brands, but like if I'm looking for game bags, you know, because we don't use game bags hardly ever in the Midwest, but when you go out west, it's nice to have that type of thing. Typically, I always use Clint Casper's game bags because I never have any on hand, but that's just the way it works. But one of the things I think that stands out on Black Ovis, and we've sent a lot of people to Black Ovis because we work with Victory Arrows. They're one of our partners, and everybody knows from the – we did a podcast with Victory about the carbon shortage, and that's not Victory's problem. That's a carbon problem in general, just getting the material. But the Arrow ID Builder is something we've sent a lot of people to Black Ovis for that want to get a certain arrow or have it done a certain way or set up a certain way, and we've been promoting that. But can you break down what the Arrow ID Builder is for people who are unfamiliar?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the Arrow ID we created for guys that want to, you know, they want an arrow to look a specific way, but they don't have the time or the capability to build it. So it's a custom building platform. We wrote, you know, custom software to fit within our store. So you can go on there and select any model you want, any of the vane configuration you want. You can change colors. Like you can have, you know, obviously, like if you're doing three fletch, two one color, one the other. Whether you want to wrap or not, change the knock out, and it shows you all of this kind of like as you're building it. It really is. I mean, until last year, I've never had anyone build an arrow for me. I've always built my own arrows since I started bow hunting like 10, 11 years ago. And I got to a point last year where I was so dang busy. It's funny. I'm selling people gear and telling people about gear, and I'm the last person that I shop for. And I actually had one of our gals build my arrows. And it's like, it's for the guy like me that's so busy and is like, I can do it, but I just want it done right in a specific way. So you design it, you create it. You know, you figure if you really want inserts, you know, add it or no, if whether you want to cut or uncut, maybe the guy's going to just, hey, build the back end for me. Let me, you know, let me figure out. I want to get more advanced FOC or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. So you design it, buy it, and then we'll custom build it and ship it. When we get in the busy time, which is, you know, basically June on, it's somewhere in that 1 to 3 week build. So we created a thing called Lightning Build where you can pay a little bit extra to get to the front of the line. We'll build your order within 2 to 3 business days and ship it. So it's been super cool. And with Victory, the cool thing about Victory is they don't allow people to sell arrows online. And so we were kind of out in the cold with them for a while. But then when they really looked at, because they're all about the pro shop, and which is fantastic. And I love brands that are like that,
for
that
sure.
are really core. And we talked to them and said, listen, like, we feel like what we're doing is exactly what good pro shops do. And they looked at our outfit, looked at our situation. So the Victory arrows, you can only get through the Arrow ID on Black Ovis. You can't just buy them, you know, buy the shafts and have us ship them to you. You have to have
yeah,
them
so awesome.
Through the custom build. So Victory has been pretty stoked about that. And we love the partnership with those guys.
They're great.
And our demand for Victory keeps growing and growing. So,
good. That's good to hear. That's good for us too, because I'm in love with the RIP TKO, and we talk about that arrow a lot. I've shot that
super
arrow for
popular.
I mean, is it? You think it's probably one of the most popular arrows right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, outside, you know, you're looking at it. It goes to head to head with the Easton Axis, which is a lot of guys shoot. Easton's probably got a little bit more, like notoriety as far as that Axis arrow, but that RIP TKO. Man, there are so many dudes trying to get their hands on that arrow right now.
That's what, and I don't know how your guys' availability is right now on them, but everyone else, like my local shop, is sold out. I cannot get them. So I'm like, well, try Black Ovis. So I don't know what the availability is now. Maybe you don't know off the top of your head, but
he's looking it
it's
up.
Another place to check for
I'm
sure.
I'm looking it up right now. But the cool thing is, like I said, is it can't, you can't get it just by buying it on the site. It has to be part of the build process. So if a guy, if there is, like, you know, if one of you guys or a buddy is, you know, or one of your listeners wants to buy that arrow and build it themselves, we're not going to be that resource. But
we're working class bow hunter, man. A lot of guys are working and
don't have time to build arrows.
So they might know what they want,
right,
but not have the time to build it.
Time or capability, like he was saying. It's just so cool that, like, because most people just buy a box of arrows and, like, okay, now I have to find somewhere to get them cut, get the inserts put in,
yeah,
and then fletching. Most I mean, most archery shops do that, but
I hate fletching arrows. I don't care what anybody
says. Sucks.
I don't trust myself.
Some people find therapy in fletching arrows, not me.
No.
So we do. I just looked up the inventory. We do have inventory on the TKOs.
Well, there you go.
350, yeah, 350 and 400 spine. So there you go.
Oh, money. Cool. Well, good. I'm glad it didn't. Was like, no, we're out, Kurt. Shut up.
Hey, can you delete that from the podcast, please?
Yeah, can you cut that part out? Hey, get people to the Aero ID Builder. It's pretty awesome, and it's easy to find there. You go to Black Ovis, you'll see it. So now's the time to start thinking about that.
It's funny when you do. You know what? I mean, I don't know what you guys do for work wise or your listeners, but when you start a business, sometimes it's, I don't know, sometimes you have super, super high expectations. Other times you just don't know. And so you don't really know like what it can do or will do. I mean, we certainly had no, I mean, if 12, 13 years ago, you would have said, hey, I'm sitting in an office, you know, with 40 so employees and 50,000 square feet of a warehouse, I'd be like, you are smoking the crap right now. and look, you know, it's like, here we are. And it's,
yeah.
And the same thing with Aero ID. I remember when we built it, we had a kid that worked for us. He actually works for Mountain Ops now. He's a designer over there. Super, super good kid. I love that guy a ton. And he's the only person I have that will work on my, I'm like, I don't want anyone to touch my bow except for Chris. But he said, we should do this. And so we like, okay. And then we're like, well, who's going to build the arrows? He's like, I'll build them just on my desk in between, like kind of what I'm doing. And we thought, okay, well, we shouldn't be bad. So we invested the money in all this custom software. And then we thought, if we can just sell one build per day, so 365 builds in the year, it'll at least pay for most of the software.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe we'll sell a few extra arrows, you know, on the side kind of.
Yeah.
And yeah, we after about 2 months, he's like, fellas, I can't fill these at my desk anymore. So, we've taken our lumps, man. It's the one thing about starting a business or starting a part of a business is it's hard to plan for what will happen. And
because you never know.
It's never going to be perfect either. Like there's always going to be something that's not, maybe the system's not perfect or whatever, but you just plow forward. We've just always had that attitude. Like we're all just going to put just put our nose to the grindstone and work hard.
So does Aero ID have its own warehouse now?
it's got a section of the warehouse that's like, that's Aero ID land. It's pretty, and it's kind of prime real estate too. We've had
Aero ID land, like Lego land. It's got its own little
that's
spot.
Cool, man. I love the concept of it. It's badass, really. I mean, it's perfect.
It's cool. And, it gets pretty hairball. I mean, there's a lot of guys that procrastinate out there. I'm one of them, but it gets gnarly, July and August. And so, I'm not hopefully not tooting my horn too much, but I've pulled a couple all nighters, last year and the year before, just trying to help churn out arrows and get guys build out. 'Cause we know how close hunting is getting and people get, They get a little wild.
Especially where you guys are at. I mean, October 1 is like our seasons here, Iowa, Illinois. It's, I mean, late August, some places, right? Out your guys' way.
Yeah, we start August, like August 15th, August 20th.
Ooh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
that's really crazy. It's wild.
Montana antelope opens, archery opens around that time. Colorado archery opens antelope around that time. And then September 1 for basically most of the West. So,
what you're saying is, all right, Midwest listeners, everyone else, just you don't need to listen. Midwest listeners, if you want to get arrows through the Aero ID Builder, get your orders in probably now so you're not fighting the Western procrastinators that are trying to get their builds in closer to their season.
No joke. Or wait till after September 1. And it lulls off a little bit, but I know y'all are...
After September 1st, then they'll all be hunting.
You're right. Yeah, then everybody at Black Ovis will be hunting, so then the delay on your arrows.
Damn it.
It's like, dude,
it gets rough because people that are building and everyone else, like, hey, we want to go hunt. It's like, no, we got to build arrows.
Yeah, how does it work there at Black Ovis and Camo Fire and Crispy? How do you delegate vacation time during hunting season? That can't be fun.
Seniority. Dude.
For me, I'm trying to play the nice guy, and I have to play the heavy hand. But it's cool because we've actually got some dudes that aren't archers. So they're they're like, hey, go at it on, you know, for September.
Yeah. Pizza party when you're not here.
We've got other guys that are, you know, not rifle guys. So we've got a good mix of guys that hunt basically October and a mix of guys that hunt, August, September.
Perfect.
But, there is a little bit of a pecking order. Like we can't just vacate the entire office.
phones are just ringing.
You'd like to, but you can't.
Oh, I know, man. That's the misnomer. People think, oh, I'm going to work in the industry, in the hunting industry, and then I'm going to hunt. It's going to be awesome. It's like, well, guess what? Everyone you work with wants the same exact vacation.
Yep.
So unless you're in a business that can literally shut down for a month, then
it's tough.
Then chances, yeah, you may not get the exact, you know, time off that you want. But
yeah,
but no, I mean, trust me, it's so rad talking gear and working around product and with people that are like-minded and passionate,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the same way. And that's the coolest part of, you know, being a business owner and working in this industry is mm-hmm. I'm around people that think like me, they're passionate about the stuff like me. And I get to talk to people that are equally as passionate, if not more, on a daily basis. Like,
yeah. It keeps you motivated. It keeps mm-hmm. Keeps you going, keeps you wanting to innovate and do cool things with your business.
Absolutely. And I feel like I'm more in touch because, I mean, if I'm selling mattresses, you don't wake up and think, I can't wait to go build a new mattress.
Some guys might, you never know.
But go stretch,
talk mattresses with people.
Can we build some of these bad boys?
Like, look at the springs on this one.
We got to come to work and talk hunting and get passionate. And to hear, I mean, again, that's why I really love being on the phone, talking to customers, because like I got to hear them talk about what they're stoked about, what hunt they got coming up and why they're planning for that, where they're going and how I can potentially help them get into the right gear and you know, save as much money as they can. And that's, dude, it's rad. I love it.
Yeah. No, that has to be cool. It's a cool, really cool business to be in the way you guys are set up. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, I mean, I know there's always negatives to the job and people say that's a dream job, but that's one of what could be a dream job for a lot of guys.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm going to ask you a question. Maybe there's not an answer to it because it's probably too hard to scale, but uh-huh. based off what you see come and go and trends and stuff like that and what people are buying through Black Ovis and Camo Fire, what right now that just today, and it probably changes tomorrow or next week, what's hot right now? Like, what are people buying a lot of? What are people talking about? Like, what are people snagging up? And it can be any category that comes to mind, but, and maybe it's a few things.
Right. Like right now, today, right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know what's crazy? So trekking poles, and I don't know if it's because it's shed season out here in the West and, mm-hmm. and people are trekking poles and bear season starting here in the West.
Yep.
Boots. I mean, Crispy just dropped their new models. Like we got in like three of them and one of them, the new Laponia, would basically torch through. So we're begging for more. I have a little bit of pole over there, so we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit of pole.
Just a little bit. You know a guy.
I know, right? some of the camping stuff is really picking up right now, like sleeping pads, water filters. Guys are starting to think about like, okay, Memorial Day is coming up. You know, a little bit over a month, I'm going to go out on my first kind of camping trip, or maybe it's cause it's bear season. People are picking that up, but those things are hot right now. Yeah. It was so weird. Trekking poles. I thought that's the weird, but we've been smoking them lately.
Yeah. And you guys have Black Ovis branded trekking poles.
We do. We carry Black Ovis, the Peak, Sissy Sticks, the Muley Freak, Sissy Sticks. Lecky. Lecky's been selling like crazy right now. Mm-hmm. And they are a trekking pole only company.
Mm-hmm.
But and then the Black Ovis and Camo Farm models have been doing really well. But it's funny to watch the different categories at different times of the year. Like I'll you know, oftentimes I'll go out in the warehouse and help with some of the shipping, or I've just kind of observe kind of what's going on, or we get pulled into, I mean, our attitude here is nothing's below anyone. Like mm-hmm. we all work together. And so, I mean, there's times I'm loading the truck or I'm picking orders or I'm helping put product back on the shelves because mm-hmm. we've got, you know, stuff that came in, and it's interesting to see kind of that flow.
That's important. I think in a work environment.
Oh, absolutely.
It's good.
What?
Just having like all hands on deck, because it keeps everyone on like, There's no like false egos being fluffed anywhere. It's like everyone's a part of the family at that
point. Well, I'm sure it, and that says like you actually care about the business, that you're out there helping them, putting truck, you know, putting stuff on the shelves, driving fork truck. I mean, it, that means a lot.
Yeah, it's just kind of how we're programmed. I mean, we've had guys come on board, and I can tell within a couple of days if they're going to make it or not. And like, I remember one cat, he came on and after the, I think it's middle of second day, I'm like, bro, you need to pick up that phone. We've got customers calling. And he goes, don't we have people for that? And I was like,
you are the people.
That cat's not going to last. And he literally, a couple weeks later, he's like, I just don't think this is a real fit for me. And I'm like, yep, I know. Uh-huh. But you know, we've got a guy that's going to start in the buying team next Monday. And he's got Fridays off. So he's been working each Friday. And instead of being working in the buying world, we've had him going through customer service training. He'd ship product. He helped with receiving. So he'd like do a half morning receiving, half a day, like putting away product. And all that is so important because then he understands his role in the entire part of our business.
Yeah.
But he also understands like, hey, nothing is below me, even though I got a nice, you know, desk to sit at and I get to talk product all day long and buy product. Like walking out of the warehouse, if I say, hey, Colby, I need you to help pick orders this morning, he's like, sure, I know cool. how to do it, and I don't right. feel like it's below me. So
yeah,
that's super awesome. Important for a cult from a culture standpoint. And I hope that that also translates to kind of the way when we talk to customers, we don't feel like we're cooler than them. That's nothing sucks more than going into like an archery shop or a sports shop.
Yeah.
And that dude is so cool that, you know, he, you should just be stoked that you even get to talk to him. And that's such a bad vibe.
Yeah. And that's that's sad to say, that's a lot of archery shops.
Yeah. It is for sure.
It's terrible. It's so I mean, I hope that our guys,
I called an archery shop yesterday and they cool guided me on the phone. I'm not kidding. And no I was way. So bummed. And tattoo shops are the same way. I go to a lot of tattoo shops. When you walk in, the guy at the front counter is usually like, what do you want? It's like, well, I'm trying to pay you.
I'm trying to get a tattoo.
You want my money or not?
Because
I'm not here to bake a cake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to pay you. Like, don't be mean to me. But there's a shop that I go to now has great, like, customer service, and I compliment them on it every time. I'm like, this is uncommon in your industry. Do you know that? And they're like, oh, yeah, we know. That's why we're changing it. So
yeah, we've got a storefront here where locals would come in and, you know, try on boots and whatnot, and it was cool. It was rewarding for me because a couple weeks ago, I just happened to pop in. I was jumping in the storefront for something, and there was a guy there, and a kid, Bryce, that works for us, was out there helping him. And this guy knew that I was the owner or whatever, and he said, hey, he goes, I just want to tell you, man, I love coming in here, Bryce and Bailey and Evan and Weston or whoever has been helping him. He goes, these guys are like just good dudes.
Yeah.
Like, he goes, I always feel super welcome in here. And I said, man, I'm so glad to hear that. And he said he was some project manager for some company and has, I don't know, like 50, 80 employees or something like that. So he's obviously fairly important in his business, but it was cool to hear him say that he felt like he felt welcome and he didn't feel like kind of talked down to.
Yeah.
And I hope that is an experience that we give like everybody. It's just common respect, right? I mean,
it is, yeah.
Yeah.
So. It is too, but man, you think from someone that's out of our space, out of our industry, that so badly wants to learn how to hunt and do or camp or get into hiking or whatever it is. And you walk into this environment where you think everybody around you is an expert and any question you ask is going to be a dumb question. So you're automatically a little more hesitant than normal to go in and have the person kind of be an a-hole to you. That sucks, you know? So if you go in terrible. And they're like, hey man, what's up? What do you need? Like, we'll help you out. Like, no question's a dumb question. Just that's such a big deal. And I think that's huge for a company's future.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you turn away people doing like,
oh man, nothing's worse, man. Nothing's worse when you go in and you don't feel like you know something.
You're like, all right, well, I guess I'm just not going camping.
Right.
it's intimidating. I remember when I first got into archery, I mean, I was a rifle hunter. My dad was a rifle hunter. And I had a buddy that he's my hunting partner. We hunt every year in Colorado, and he kind of got me into it. And I remember G5 came out with a new sight, and I had seen it in a magazine and kind of read about it. And I thought this must be the cool, I think it was the Optic is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought what a cool concept. I want to get this sight. And I walked into an archery shop here in Salt Lake. In the archery shop, and I know the guy who ran it. It's no longer in business. He's a heck of an archer, and bottom line, he's a pretty good guy. But I must have caught him on a bad day or whatever. And I walked in. I said, "Hey, man, I'm just kind of kicking around. I'd really like to see if you guys can order me in this G5 site." And he goes, "That site sucks." I'm like, "Okay, well." And I think at the time he was shooting CBE, and he's like, "Nothing but CBE here in this shop." And I said, "Well, okay, but can you order me that?" You know, it's like,
yeah, all right.
would that be all right? I'm just getting into archery, just got my first bow. And he's like, "No, man, that sight sucks." And I just, and they just kind of went about doing what he was doing. And I thought,
man,
okay.
Other ways to handle that situation.
Hey, I'll take my business somewhere else. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't like mad, but I thought,
oh yeah, snakes and sparklers.
That is just wow. Like, yeah. Why would I? So anyway, it's hopefully we behave a little differently, and that's who I am. That's who I hope everyone that works with me and mm-hmm. How they treat people. So
I think great qualities and a great mission as a brand, because
absolutely
we've all been there as customers, man. Nothing's worse than that. Like, that guy should have just been like, "Hey, man, we shoot this because of this," and maybe ask you some questions about what you're looking for and why.
Dude, he could have upsold me in like 10 seconds. I was ready to pull. Like, he was like, "Here's my wallet. How much do I give you? Just give me something that's rad."
Yeah.
He could have just been like, "Oh, man, that site's a pretty good site, but let me tell you why this one's
better.
Head and shoulders above that one."
Right. Exactly.
It's like, bro.
No.
It's
sad. That site sucks.
Death Leopard sucks.
It's like, all right, thanks.
Thanks for your input.
Yeah.
I hate that band.
Just trying to buy their CD, man.
Nope. That's so funny.
That is a bummer. Let's talk Crispy for a little bit. So I've had a couple pairs of Crispy. I guess let me back up. In the Midwest, I feel like the more Western, and maybe my... Okay, I'm coming from a guy from Illinois, so my terminology might make you cringe a little bit, Kendall. You might be like...
It's okay.
He's going to be like the guy at the archery shop. Yeah.
He answers phones for a living. He's probably heard it all.
Oh, he's heard it all.
I've heard most all. Every once in a while, I get shocked, but go ahead and try.
So I'm calling Crispy a Western boot, and I feel like that's fair to say. And I feel like guys don't think... In the Midwest before, guys didn't think about Crispy or some of the other brands until they wanted to go out west. Now I feel like it's pretty common to see somebody wearing a Crispy boot in the whitetail woods. And maybe it's because they've went west, bought the boot, and they like the boot, so now they're using it here at home for whitetails. That happened. That's what I did, and that's what I wear. I have Colorados currently. What do you feel? I got so into like explaining the breakdown that I forgot what my main question was. God damn it.
Well, I have a question for you, actually. Can I ask?
Yeah.
So I'm super curious to know, why do you think there's that adoption into the Midwest when there's no doubt the Crispy or another high performance boots are looked at as a Western boot, but it's been interesting for us to watch the adoption of guys that are buying them that have either some intention at some point down the road or no intention to go, west, but they still want that particular boot. It's like what is happening in your neck of the woods. Because I go to Kentucky every year for a week and a half for whitetail hunting.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt this amazing episode, but we want to talk to you about Therm-O-Seat. We really thought it was important enough to stop and talk about what you're sitting on when you're in the turkey woods.
Very important.
When you're in the late season deer woods, do you really have the D wedge to give you the support you need when a boss gobbler's coming into a decoy? Do you?
If you don't, you should.
Are you sitting in a tree stand? Is your butt cold? Who are you?
Yeah. Imagine a boss gobbler coming in and your butt hurts. I mean, you're uncomfortable.
And your butt's wet.
Yeah. You got a wet butt.
No one wants a wet butt.
Dude, you can't have a wet butt And you can't have a wet butt when you're trying to kill turkeys. And you can't have a cold butt when you're trying to kill deer.
That's right.
You know what to do? Get yourself a thermos seat, whatever one applies for you. Maybe the traditional series. It's $10.49 to $19.99. What are you, broke? Don't eat lunch for like 2 days. And, you know, if you do
skip
need a
lunch.
Code.
Be a day.
Use code WCTS. Save yourself some money. Thermoseat.com/hunting. You'll find the seats you need there.
Skip lunch. Your butt will thank you later.
That's right.
Just don't eat lunch for like 2 days. The podcast is also brought to you by Victory Arrows. I am currently shooting the Rip TKO. I believe that's going to be my setup for all the hunts this fall.
Same.
Eric? I'm shooting the SSs this year.
So get on it. Start thinking about your
Fancy
arrows.
Yeah.
In this episode, we talk about the Black Ovis Arrow ID Builder. Mm-hmm. Get ahead of things. Get ready. Get your arrows going. You will thank us later that we talked you into it. So get after it. The podcast also brought to you by Huntworth Gear. Huntworth, I think, makes the best clothing for the price. And
absolutely.
My two new favorite camo patterns, great looking patterns, great gear. They're known for their gloves, but I'm telling you, if you're on the fence about getting new gear or what to get, try Huntworth. We really think you'll like it. I've enjoyed every piece of gear I have. You can use code WCB15 at Huntworth and get yourself looking fresh and feeling good, too. You're going to feel good when you get out there. Also, Pullback.
Looking good's half the battle.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. You got to look good. Podcast is also brought to you by Pullback and Let Go. I'm wearing a Pullback and Let Go zip-up hoodie right now. Doug's
I'm wearing
got
a hoodie, too.
Just top quality gear, and they have gear to make your wife happy.
That's right.
So if you're looking to get some gear, you can order your wife some goodies, and everything's good, baby. You know
top
what I'm
notch.
Saying?
Smooth sailing.
You can't kill big deer if your wife sucks, so help her not suck by getting her some Pullback and Let Go gear.
Some hunt gear.
You know, you like that?
Hey.
Whoa. The podcast also brought to you by Camo Fire. We don't really need to give that plug, hence this episode.
But we will.
But we will. Camo Fire. Check it out. CamoFire.com. You'll see what we've been talking about.
Delete your browser history.
And the podcast is brought to you by Novix Tree Stands. We rocked the Echo this fall. We rocked the Hilo this fall. We're looking into a run again for this coming fall. We're doing some giveaways at the shoot with Novix Tree Stands. And when we draw from the trade show giveaway. So there's a code now for Novix. People have been asking about this code. So this is where it gets sweet with the Novix code. Code WCB22 for stands and sticks. It's a limited code. So it's good for 200 uses. So once that 200 uses is capped, it's gone. So it's if you have a Novix that you're wanting to buy for this fall, use the code. Because after the code is gone, it's gone. 200 uses. Code WCB22.
I think I need about 200 more stands.
You always need more stands.
Eric.
If you're on the fence, don't
be.
Now's the time to do it. Save yourself some money. Check them out. Novix. And they are American made in Central Illinois. And they're great people and ethical people.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, do the right thing for yourself and your wallet. And thank you for sitting through our wonderful ads and back to the episode. Thanks for being here.
And none of the guys I hunt with and none of the other guys I've seen as I go into like the where the deer processor, nobody's wearing like what I would call Western boots or Crispies.
Yeah.
But it's been super interesting. So I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on why is there that adoption happening really in the last two to three years?
Yeah, I was going to say 2 to 4 years. So here's my perspective, and maybe Doug and Eric have different perspectives. I think a lot of it is, well, most guys here wear rubber boots.
I was just going to say, that's what I was going to say.
If I'm not...
It's a go-to. And
it's the scent control thing that's embedded in our heads in the whitetail woods, which is a great thing to think about. Big advocate for thinking about that. I've always wore rubber boots since the beginning. For creek crossings and stuff like that. Swampy ground. I think where I probably could have benefited from a boot like Crispy, back in the day a lot longer, guys that are in the mobile tree stand hunting game or if they're hunting out of a saddle, they're looking for a boot that's more agile, that you can move around in, you can move a little quicker in, it's a little lighter. I have non-insulated, my Colorados are non-insulated, so I got them for my Western hunting, and I wore them up until it got, like, frigid. Pretty much this year, at the end of November, I wore those boots all the way through. And I'm going in with tree stands on my back, and I'm able to climb up a tree and feel agile instead of clunky and like I got 5 pound weights on each foot when I'm trying to walk through and be quiet. So I think probably the mobility part is the big adoption, going from a rubber boot to a more agile type hiking Western hunting boot. I think that's the main thing from my perspective. Maybe I'm missing something, but that's my outlook on it.
So rubber boots, how much of, I've never considered that. And that's because I don't come from a scent control like background. Mm-hmm. That's not like what I don't think about that as one of my primary features. Now, all the guys I hunt with in Tennessee and Kentucky, there's a couple guys from Tennessee and a couple guys from Michigan, and they all have the Ozonics like bags, and they're militant about that. But when it comes to footwear, are you using rubber boots because of the scent control element of the rubber doesn't retain the odor, or are you using it more because that's what your grandpappy used and that's what like your dad used? And
it's probably
like you were saying, crossing streams, going through, it just like you're never getting wet in a rubber boot.
Yeah, it's like the Argo of boots, I guess, out here.
I think mainly it's scent control and not having wet feet is my opinion.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, the scent thing, you spray your boots down with your scent spray or whatever it is and you're good. Yeah. But then they don't breathe, so the insides stink pretty bad.
Terrible.
I think that's the main thing. But for me, I just liked my Colorado so much that they're not getting snagged up. I'm not cussing because when you walk in heavy rubber boots, it's clunky.
Especially shed hunting.
No doubt about it.
Yeah. So I think that's the big thing is, mobile hunting is, maybe it's a fad. It's not a fad. It's a scene that in the whitetail woods that has really gained popularity a lot in the last 5 years. And I think it's just
a big time.
Yeah. It's just easier to be mobile when you're hiking in with a stand and sticks on your back or a saddle or whatever you're using to not have to worry about big giant rubber weights on your feet.
Yeah. And last year in Kentucky, I'm on a lease with these guys and there's like 800 acres. So, it was, we've got, I don't know how many stands we've got set up. I mean, these guys, they love it. Cause they're like, hey, can you get a deal on some stands? I'm like, you are talking to the right guy. we need some trail cameras. Like check.
Go to Camel Fire. You could probably find a deal.
Those guys, they do a ton of work on that property and I end up supplying a lot of gear because I can't fly out to Kentucky to work on it. But
hey, it works out.
It's a great arrangement. I love it. Even though we've got, I don't know, 15 or 20 stands and some ground, some elevated blinds, I didn't sit in one of our stands or one of our blinds last time I was in Kentucky. I fully have embraced the mobile hunting and tree stand or tree saddle. And so, but what the benefit was is there were a couple of days that I did just have like my Alpha Burleys on.
Mm-hmm.
And there were multiple days that I had just my Crispies on, the Wild Rocks I was using because it was a little colder.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know there's a noticeable difference between hanging out on a saddle or climbing sticks and then hanging out on a saddle for 4 or 5 hours in a boot that's got a good solid like bottom versus in your rubber boots. From a comfort and stability standpoint, not to mention how, whether you're hiking, 200 yards or 2 miles to wherever you're going to be hunting, that's maybe a little bit minor, but
yeah,
I don't know. I've theorized that maybe that's something to do with it, but,
I've used my Crispies on my saddle platform, but my feet were great,
Right.
But I'm trying to think, I don't think I ever hunted out of my trophy line setup with my rubber boots because I would imagine I would feel that pressure from the platform on the center of my feet, but I had my Colorados on, which is stiffer on the bottom. So maybe that's what, that probably kept me more comfortable. I just didn't realize it because I didn't have to think about it.
If you swing around, like let's say your platform's like, one direction, you kind of swing around and you're on the edge of the platform on the side of it.
Yeah.
Kind of pushing off the sides. You're more in the saddle, kind of pushing off the side. I remember doing that in the rubber in those Alpha Burleys, and it was like 3 minutes later, I'm all, my feet are fidgety and I can't, it just, you know, cause it's right on the ball of my foot. Cause usually like in that situation, I'm got like a, or I'll reach down with one foot and put it on the top of my last, like climbing stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I haven't set it too high, but yeah, there's a huge difference for me. So I thought maybe that had something to do with it, but
I think there's a lot of guys that are saying,
hey, I can get the performance out of a, like a boot, like a Crispy. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, so that early season, I'm not basically have a sweat bucket on each foot.
Mm-hmm.
And, or I've got somewhat technical, let's use air quotes in that terrain, or legitimately guys are going into Adirondacks or other places. They're like, dude, I hike a ton. And I've always just kind of dealt with it with you know, inferior footwear, but it's pretty cool to see that adoption. And then you have the guys that are buying it for those purposes with that, in a couple of years, I'm probably going to go to Colorado or Wyoming. And so
for sure,
I think there's still a lot of guys that I talk to out of the Midwest that think it's going to take me a year to break these in. I'm like, bro, you're going to be, those will be golden in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. For sure.
With, I think too,
half a dozen hikes.
With like the name Crispy, you know, you said it's growing tremendously. I think it's slowly making its way this way. You know, you guys being a Western company, it was probably majorly popular out there. So I think the word is kind of slowly getting to the Midwest right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just kind of my thought on it.
And I'll say this too, Kendall, they look cool. And that doesn't hurt.
Right.
It doesn't hurt. Like the orange Thors, that's the first pair of Crispies I bought. They're pretty rad looking. Like,
I love those boots.
And you know what? And we did the Harrisburg PA show, which is a 9-day show. I wore my Crispies over half the time of that show because my feet hurt standing. So I put my Crispies on just for support. But on this topic, if there's somebody from the Midwest that, you know, they want to go west, they're in the market to buy a boot like that. Maybe they want one just for their mobile game or whitetail game. I know it's probably hard to, and maybe it's not, but to find a boot that kind of can do both, what would be the first boot you'd be like, hey, look at this one, see if you like what it offers, and go from there. What would be the first one or two you'd probably recommend?
Summit for sure. Which has the same upper as what you have in your Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so versatile. Summit is not quite as stiff a flex as the Colorado. It's lighter weight. It's just a super comfortable boot. There's few guys that ever complain about that boot, but it breathes extremely well, and so it has a lot of capabilities in the East or Midwest, and it's right at home. And I've hunted steep, gnarly stuff in Colorado and Washington and in that boot and all over Utah. So that's one that I would say out of the gate guys should look at and say, like, if I want to kind of do everything boot, East Coast, Midwest, West, the Summit's certainly one.
Okay.
The Valdres would be another one because it's a little lighter weight, not quite as bulky as like the Nevada, but it's all leather with a stretch nylon tongue. So it breathes exceptionally well for a leather boot. And because so there's some guys that just say, hey, I like a leather boot, or I like a more traditional, or I feel like I'm in, you know, nasty thorn type country. And so I don't want the fabric to get pierced by a thorn or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So those two would be right off the bat. I would say, like, take a look at those two. And then if there's a third one, it's going to be the Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have, I mean, you probably noticed the difference between the Thor and the Colorado. The Colorado on the upper has so much more stability in like for ankle support versus the Thor.
And that's what I needed. But, like, I realized when I went to Colorado for the first time that I have the ankles of a baby giraffe. and I never thought, if someone was like, you got little girl ankles? I'd be like, no, I'm a man. I went to Colorado and I'm like, I got little girl ankles.
I remember Buckstorm put a video of just you slipping.
Well, it's me trying to cross creeks with worn out ankles. Like, my ankles got tired, you know? I'm like, oh, got
weak ass ankles.
Yeah, I'm falling in a creek. I'm like, I can't walk. My ankles are broke. So I went with Colorado's. And then Clint taught me how to lace them up for extra support, which I didn't know. I didn't do my research. So he's like, dude, what are you doing here? Let me show you. So I'm like,
he's like your dad. Put your shoe right up here on my knee. Let me lace those for you.
Quick, tied them off.
You got to get the rabbit ears right.
Yeah.
Loop, swoop, and pull. Now your shoes on. Okay, cool.
So funny that it's interesting. how many guys, and that's what's kind of interesting about the various models that we sell, because there's some that will do more work for you, and there's some that rely on you and your body and your ankles in this case to do more work. And a lot of people think like it's one, you know, one boot fits everything, and it's not necessarily the case. Like I've broken my ankles a handful of times. I don't feel like I have weak ankles. I used to trail run a ton. Mm-hmm. And so I actually like a boot that doesn't have a lot of ankle support. But then I got into that, but you know, so I use like the Laponia and the Summit, the Tiva Mid. When I get into more technical type terrain, I do love the Nevada, and I like the Colorado too. Sometimes mm-hmm. it feels a little bit, I put a boot like the Colorado on, and I feel like I'm just like kicking in doors and taking names later. I mean, it's like, it's a man's boot, you know? So, but I put on the Thor, and I love it from a comfort standpoint. I absolutely love it. It was probably the last boot I had ever tried in our lineup. I kind of poo-pooed it a little bit for a while, and there was a pair that came back as a customer used it twice. We thought it was still new, so we refunded him, and then all of a sudden it's like, this thing's used, we can't sell it. And so I was going to Montana for a 3D archery shoot, and I said, man, I want to try some Thors. So luckily for me, I found a pair. That pair was my size, and I ran around that mountain. I was actually setting up a course, the Camelfire course, for the Northwest Mountain Challenge. Mm-hmm. And dude, I thought I was going to break my dang ankles, because that boot does not have a ton of ankle support. Mm-hmm. Super comfortable, ridiculously comfortable. And I loved it for just rolling around. But when I got in technical terrain, even though that's built for somewhat technical terrain, I realized, okay, this boot is designed for technical terrain side hilling, but when you want your ankle to do more of the work versus having the boot do more of the work. So mm-hmm. every boot has a different like trade-off of how much you're going to do more work and how much the boot's going to do the work for you. And finding the right one is a little bit of an Easter egg hunt for some people, and other people, they know exactly what they need. Right.
But I guess what's cool about that, and shoes are kind of a thing, shoes and boots and stuff like that are kind of a thing guys and girls nerd out on. And you see it from whatever people collect shoes and are into it. I like Vans. That's like my daily, you know, but I feel like it screwed my feet because I wear those flat checkered Vans all the time. So I feel like I got wide, flat feet. So for me, the Colorado, I don't know if they're just a little wider or whatever, but I love them. Like I feel super comfortable in them, and I like my Thors, but I like my Colorados a lot better.
I think that's my problem. I've never been in like a nice boot. You know what I'm saying? Like I go buy the rubber boot or whatever's on sale at Dick's Sporting Goods. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, that's comfortable. Wear it for a couple of days. Like, yeah, it sucks, but I'm just going to wear it till I wear it out
though.
You just, well, I mean, you can kill a lot of good animals in just mediocre products. So it's not
right.
Just cause you buy a $400 boot doesn't mean you're going to kill bigger animals, but man, it's a tough threshold, and I get it 100%. Like,
but everyone knows if you got sore feet, you ain't gonna stay out there as long either.
I would have never dropped. Let me back out of my, you know, who I am and the access to the product I have. If I was on the other side of the counter and I was staring down the barrel of $400 for a pair of boots, I would think more than twice. I would be like, are you smoking? Mm-hmm. But, and my wife, I mean, good heavens, she would probably come unglued. When I go back to what you just said, you know, when you have an experience that is just terrible because of your feet,
mm-hmm.
man, no amount of money, I think, is too much. And I've talked to guys. I remember talking to this cat at the sheep show a couple years ago, but right before Rona. And I remember he came in and he was just like, dude, I went on this sheep hunt, and I immediately cut him off. I'm like, dude, how was it? That's so sick. And he's like, I hated that hunt. Oh, what? And he goes, he's at sheep hunts every year. So obviously the guy's got more cash than the three of us, you know, combined times two, but the four of us, but he told me, he goes, I sheep hunt every year and I bought XYZ boot. And by day two, it tore me up, but I had no choice. And he goes, it took me a month and a half for my feet to recover. I basically had to wear flip flops to work. And he was telling me all this stuff. And so, you know, you think about that. I mean, that's an extreme situation, but you have a situation like that, dude, everything you plan for, all the hopes, aspirations, the money spent, all for nothing, or basically nothing, because your feet got, you know, you were focused on your feet the entire hunt versus focusing on the hunt.
Nothing's worse, man. If your feet are gone, you're screwed, especially on a hunt like that.
Right.
I know, once in a lifetime for any of us.
Yeah.
It's like,
especially out here, you know, we're walking a couple hundred yards maybe to the stand. You know, it's not like...
It's pretty easy going.
It's pretty easy going, right.
Yeah. But let me give you an example. So you go to any of, you know, anyone that's just regular working guy, like the most of us.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, you go, well, yeah, I get it. If you're going on a sheep hunt or whatever. I used to teach skiing years ago. That's what I did through high school and college. I was a ski instructor. And I remember I used to talk to people and they would say, hey, you know, I don't ski all that often. You know, I only come out like from New York or Chicago or wherever they're coming from. I come out once a year and I ski for a week. So I just can't see myself spending that kind of money on my own boots and my own skis. And I used to tell them, I'd say, listen, if you only have 2 or 3 weeks of vacation and you're going to spend one of those 2 or 3 weeks for your entire year coming on this vacation to ski and you're going to rent crappy gear, I'm like, no way. You should be investing in the best gear you possibly can buy so you make that week so good, or the experience, that the equipment is not the fault of your, you know, the joy of your experience. So
yeah.
I think the same way, and it's just a different perspective to mm-hmm. look at it. If you're, whether you're hunting, you know, doll sheep in Alaska, or you're hunting, you know, coyotes in, you know, in North Dakota or what, or anything in between, it's like, if you're really passionate about it and then you're going to sacrifice your you know, your free time, which comes at a high cost for all of us,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you invest in the best product you absolutely can get for whatever money you absolutely have available? And so then you're not focusing on the gear. You're just focusing on
what you're there to do.
Yeah. What you're there to do. So mm-hmm. It's just a different perspective. And I think that would help me personally to overcome the cost standpoint, not just for boots, but for any gear. It's like, buy the best dang gear you can and then just, you know, get after it.
For sure.
Because otherwise you're going to be, you may have a lesser than experience because of faulty equipment or subpar equipment.
It's great advice, especially guys like building points for this certain tag. And then they, you know, you have this much time to prepare for it. And, you know, you don't want to have something screw you up.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that whole buy once, cry once type mentality a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not exactly, but I get what you're saying. It's like, for me, if I'm going, I don't want to think about my feet hurting and ruining my hunt when I saved up to buy that.
All you're going to think about the whole time.
Yeah, saved up to buy that elk tag or whatever.
2 days maybe. In, your feet are done.
Gone.
That's just one big buster. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's funny, all the different stories we hear. That when they're finally come over, you know, finally like, okay, I'm ready to buy like a high end boot.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons why, and it's like, I've heard the whole gamut, and and it's cool. It's cool to see people finally getting to that point. And I'm completely fine with people. Like, they're just like, hey, my Danners are great. And it's like, dude, they make a good boot.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a better price point than what we're selling at Crispy. But to each their own. And they certainly, you know, can enjoy the outdoors in either product, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can do it. You can go with whatever gear you want, but just what you want to do with it and what you're looking to get, man. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. So, but man, you guys are just in the goods when it comes to business in this industry, man. It's cool to see.
Get a little bit of everything.
It's even cooler that you're cool, because it'd be a bummer.
Thank you.
It'd be a bummer if you weren't.
Hey, this podcast, we're awesome, but you're not that cool.
Yeah, at the end we bring it to you.
Yeah, man. I just a normal dude like you guys. Love hunting. I love talking gear. And I'm just I'm super blessed and psyched to actually be where I'm at, right?
Yeah.
And it's been a fun ride so far. We've got plenty of road in front of us, too.
It's good.
Awesome, man. It's cool. Awesome. I'm glad we can be a part of it in what little way that we're a part of it. And I know.
No, you guys are rad. And sorry to cut you off, but I just want to thank you guys. I mean, it's super fun to be involved with good people and guys that are like real, right?
Yeah.
And what, you know, I've listened to a handful of your podcasts and it's just like,
sorry,
just good deal. Yeah. I'm not asking for a refund on that time. It was time well spent. So it's awesome. And that's, you know, you're not going to build your podcast on its own, and we're not going to build our business on its own. It's linking up with good people and the type of people you want to be around. And that's what makes the industry so desirable from the outside looking in, is
for sure
people see, you know, potentially guys like me and guys like you linking up and having a good time and doing business together, and those are the fun relationships, and that's really the root of why this industry is so amazing and rewarding.
And that's what's great about like us having more experience in this industry and like meeting more people and forming great relationships. I mean, I think it's part of growth that you form relationships. You're always like, you realize certain things don't work. You realize what works, what you want to do, who you want to work with. Mm-hmm. And then as you mature as a business and as people within the business, like now we're just, I love the industry because of who we're working with.
Right.
Whereas, you know, you go through some growing pains and you learn, you live and you learn and you do things a little different. Mm-hmm. But now the space we're in is amazing. So we're thankful for all the relationships we have and looking forward to building those relationships even stronger. So it's a ton of fun for us. So we appreciate it big time.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Well, where can people find you? Because you're kind of everywhere. So I guess this is your moment in the podcast to plug.
Moment to shine.
You can follow my 15 Instagram accounts, Black Ovis.
YouTubes.
YouTubes.
Man, I'm usually not that guy to kind of toot my horn, but there's Camel Fire, Black Ovis on the gram and on YouTube. Our Black Ovis channel, we don't really have much of a Camel Fire channel on YouTube, but our Black Ovis channel is growing and growing and growing because we've got a couple cool hunting films, but most of our focus on YouTube is product videos, like information about gear, comparing products, like try to do a legitimate gear reviews and overviews and that sort of thing. And then Crispy Hunting on the gram, we changed it to Crispy US, but if you hashtag Crispy Hunting or Crispy Boots, you can find tons of us.
Very cool.
And then Facebook too for guys that are old like me.
The YouTube videos are helpful if you're looking for a boot. There's a lot of great videos with Crispy and you talking about boots and stuff. So, it's fun to watch them. So,
oh, good. Hopefully they're not too dry, but it's fun because the guys always give me, I love talking about gear and I've done enough videos that I can usually get it about one take. Mm-hmm. So the guys that shoot videos here and edit, they're like, man, I love editing your videos because they pretty much don't have to do
they don't
much.
Have to do anything.
Yeah.
But
that's perfect. Not,
so yeah, that's where you can find our stores and stuff. And obviously, you know, on the internet too.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, man. Had an absolute blast.
Yeah.
And we ought to do this again or connect sometime when we're out west and do an in-person podcast next time around.
You guys are more than welcome. Love to have you here and to show you around and heck, hopefully get up in the mountains with you too. So
yeah, so you can awesome. See my ankles give out.
Dave, you do got girl ankles.
Hey, I'm going to come out and get some ski lessons. I've never skied before in my life.
Really?
Dude, never ever. I still have a few tricks up my sleeve. I can teach you.
I never ski in the mountains. I skied in the mountains of Iowa and Illinois. That's about it.
Yeah, the hills.
Those aren't really mountains.
I'm not good at it.
I'll go out to go skiing and then break my ankles.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks, man. It's a lot of fun.
Breaks your arm and an ankle.
But we'll have to get you out here to the Midwest and get you in studio. Maybe, I don't know, sometime this fall before you hit Kentucky. I don't know. That'll probably be inconvenient. But
dude, I'd love it. I'll definitely plan for a detour if we can connect. It'd be awesome. And it'd be cool even if hanging out with you guys, shooting some bows or doing some other things like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I love it, man. Well, we'll connect. We'll get Marcus out here, run him through the Midwest mountains, see if he can survive.
teach that kid about Midwest hunting.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah, exactly. All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for I think we're going to put this out as video and audio. Thanks for watching and listening. You know what to do. Like we always say every week, go shoot your bow. We love you. Peace.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.